Luke chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 5 to 25, and then 57 to 79. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the wise or of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Verses 57 through 79. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Shalom. Peace. May God be with you this blessed morning. My name is Zechariah, and I'm a priest. And today I am filled with joyful thanks as I tell you the story of God's wonderful dealings with me. You see, God's people had waited many years for the Messiah, the Lord's promised Redeemer. And when the fullness of time had come, I was the first to hear about it. Well, perhaps I should start at the beginning. Like I said, I was a priest descended from Aaron, and my wife Elizabeth was also. To be a priest and to be married to a priest's daughter, that was a special and double distinction. We loved each other, we loved God, but we had no children. This was a double sorrow. It ruled us out as parents, but more importantly, as ancestors of the promised Messiah. My wife, Elizabeth, and I, we endured great shame as a result. We were married for many years and prayed constantly for children. And, now we were past those years. Well past. We weren't bitter or angry, but disappointed. I just tried to keep busy serving as a priest. There were many of us priests, but only one temple in Jerusalem. And apart from the three great festivals, we priests performed our duties two times, two separate weeks each year. We were organized into 24 divisions. Mine was the eighth, Abijah. So there I was, serving in Jerusalem, my time to serve in the temple, and there were sacrifices, lots of sacrifices, public and private. They were divided into burnt offerings and sin and meal and peace and guilt offerings, and prayers were offered three times a day, 9 a.m. and noon and 3 p.m. And the incense offerings, two times a day, morning and evening. This was the most coveted task because it meant entering the Holy of Holies. To burn incense with its rising smoke was a symbol of the congregation's prayers rising towards heaven. The multitudes of people stayed outside the temple, but ready to offer their prayers the moment the smoke of the incense began to ascend. The priest burned the incense and then emerged and pronounced God's blessing on the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Well, there were so many of us priests that we were chosen by lots. In fact, no priest was allowed to perform this function more than once in his lifetime. And many priests never had this awesome opportunity. I tell you, any sincere priest would look forward to his time of service. And the privilege. And would approach the drawing of lots with great anticipation. I know I did. Well, then it happened. The lots were cast, and it fell on me. I could hardly believe it. This was the most solemn moment of my life. Clothed in my spotless robe, my head covered, my shoes removed, I disappeared behind the golden doors into the Holy of Holies. I stood alone in that sacred spot to offer that pure and ideal symbol of our imperfect prayers. I was excited, nervous all at the same time. I took my censer full of incense and poured it on the perpetual altar fire. Oh Lord, let my prayer come before you this, like this incense, and lifting up my hands like this evening sacrifice. Please send your promised Redeemer. And Lord, comfort my wife Elizabeth over her great grief over being childless. Well, I stood there, and then, can you believe it, an angel appeared to me and spoke to me. I was surprised and terrified. For 400 years, direct communication from the Lord and His people, there was none. There were no prophets, no angels, nothing. But now that silence was broken. The angel told me he had not come on an errand of judgment, but of favor. After telling me not to be afraid, he brought the most amazing message. We were to have a son in our old age, and he would bring joy and delight to us and to others. His name would be John. John, I knew, meant the grace of God. How appropriate. The angel explained he would be great in the sight of the Lord. He'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, would be a prophet of the Most High. Now, he would not be the Redeemer, but he would prepare the people to receive that Redeemer. Wow. A son. And not just any son, but a son that answers both my priestly and personal prayers. Elizabeth and I had prayed for this for so many years. But now, well, when promised by God, it appeared impossible to me. Yes, I had studied the law and prophets and knew that God had gave Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age. But when it came to us, I just couldn't believe it. Oh, if the angel had come 30 or 40 years earlier, I would have welcomed him. But no, now the time's too late. It's past, long past. It's impossible, quite impossible. I mean, here it was, the announcement of that pivotal moment in history that all priests and godly people had felt and prayed for through the centuries. And not only had I been sent an angel of God to tell me in person, but I had been given the privilege of having my little boy be anointed to do an incredible thing, prepare the way for the Redeemer. I couldn't believe it. I didn't believe it. I asked the angel for a sign. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until these things take place, because you did not believe my word, which will take place, be fulfilled in their time. You would think I would believe an angel and the Lord who sent him. In reality, I was doubting the gospel, the whole Christmas message. I mean, if God couldn't restore the process of nature in Elizabeth's body, then what hope was there for all mankind that God could deliver us from the bondage of sin? So the angel gave me a sign, all right. He took away my speech. I couldn't say a word. And in a few moments, I was expected to go outside as a priest on duty and pronounce a blessing on the people. The irony of it. I mean, think about it. I was a priest who wouldn't believe the authoritative word of an angel of God. I didn't accept the possibility of divine intervention in my own life. Had I lost faith in the basic principle of redemption? Without redemption, there's no gospel. And without a gospel, any blessing I would have pronounced on the people would have been empty. I didn't like it, but it was fitting that the angel struck me dumb. I was in the temple longer than customary, and it was feared that so sacred a place, a priest might incur God's displeasure and be slain. We even took precautions. We had a rope tied around us, and so if we were struck dead, the other priests could pull us out without defiling the Holy of Holies. Well, when I finally emerged from the temple, the people had become alarmed at the long wait. And they knew when I couldn't speak that something extraordinary had happened. And I did a poor job of communicating with gestures, and I'm afraid the stories which spread were mostly speculation. Well, after my week of temple duty was up in Jerusalem, I went back home, back to the hill country of Judah. What would I tell my wife? How could I tell my wife? I couldn't even speak. But when my wife told me sometime later that indeed she was with child, I was so excited. And I assumed my speech would return. But it did not. Elizabeth. My Elizabeth. She had immediately praised and thanked God. The Lord has done for me in the days when He's looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Elizabeth, like those holy women of old, rejoiced that the shame of childlessness had been removed. But those Old Testament utterances were ascribed to the wives after the birth of their children. Elizabeth thanked God after conception. Well, then when Elizabeth's young cousin Mary came to visit, we began to understand that the unfolding story was greater than we could ever imagine. Mary was also with child, and he was to be the long-awaited Messiah. Our son John, well, would be his prophet. Elizabeth had miraculously conceived after many years of marriage, and Mary, newly promised in marriage and not even having yet been with a man, had conceived by the Spirit of God. You should have heard those two pregnant women talk. Maternity clothes, food cravings, pregnancy tips, and they gabbed on about all the normal stuff. But when it came to their babies, they were doubly blessed. You know, the conception and the birth of a child is really a miracle, but they were doubly blessed. Mary, the mother of the Messiah, and Elizabeth, the mother of his forerunner. Many times I wanted to join in, but all I could do was write on my tablet or nod in agreement. As I pondered all these things, I marveled at the mystery of God. Well, then that day finally came. Elizabeth gave birth. Oh, the word spread and congratulations came from everywhere. Family and friends and neighbors. The angel was right. We had a son. I had long prepared the speech that I would give when my voice returned. But it was not to be. Not yet. It was 8 days later, the day of his circumcision, the day we give him his name. It's customary to confirm a name that's already been given, not just choose a name. You see, to us Jews, a name is more than a label. It describes the nature and character of the one bearing it. Many times we would name a boy after the father or the grandfather. In fact, the neighbors were already doing that. Oh, look at little baby Zach. Isn't he cute? He looks like his father. But Mary interrupted. No, he's to be called John. What? Would we go against custom? It was true. No one in our family was named John. So they called for me, and I called for my tablet, and I wrote, "His name is John." I wanted everyone to know that he'd already been named. It wasn't open for discussion. John, grace of God. There was no doubt in my mind. My faith was steadfast. Well, at that moment, my voice returned. And this miracle proved to everyone that, well, all of this was from God. Everyone was filled with fear. Not fear of danger, but fear of awe and the supernatural. Finally, I could talk. For over 9 months, I had been silent. That was a long time, but a good time. I had many hours to pray and to reflect on what God had announced through His angel. I read and meditated on God's promises and prophecies concerning the Redeemer. And now it was all unfolding before my very eyes. And I could talk about it. God took the feeble words I prepared and turned them into a hymn of joy and a prophecy of power. You call it the Benedictus. That's Latin for blessed. The very first word out of my mouth, blessed or praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke the mouth of His holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath that He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Blessed praise be to God, for He has redeemed us. I know, I spoke of it in the past tense, and the Redeemer, Mary's son, hadn't even been born yet, but I was so thankful and confident that I spoke of it as having already occurred. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. The horns of a bull or an oxen speak of strength. And so just as the strength of an animal is concentrated in its horns, complete deliverance will be accomplished by the Redeemer. My mind raced back to the over 400 prophecies of the Messiah. I rejoiced over the political liberation of our people, Israel. But it's more than that, much more. Complete freedom from sin and death and even Satan and guilt and condemnation. Go back with me all the way to Father Abraham, where God made a covenant and swore by His own name. My mind and heart and tongue were filled with joyful praise. Well, then I glanced down at our infant son. There had been no prophet among us for centuries. The last word we had heard from God was from Malachi. Here, let me read that for you. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. John, our son John would not only be a powerful prophet like Elijah, but he was to prepare the way of the Lord that would bring salvation for us all. We had waited so long for this Redeemer. And now the grace of God was shining to sinful men like the rising of the morning sun after the darkness of the night. You can see why my heart was filled with joy then and now. Isn't yours? If you can't remember my whole story, just remember our names. Our names tell it all. Zechariah, God remembers. He remembered the Holy Covenant and all His promises. Elizabeth, oath of God. The oath which He swore and of which we can be certain. John, grace of God. God has shown us His grace and mercy. And finally, Jesus. The Lord saves. We all need His salvation, and it's only through this Redeemer that we can be saved. My friends, I'm here to tell you today, to remind you of this great redemption. Learn from my song of joy, won't you? Perhaps some of you think as the Israelites did. Your very notion of redemption was incorrect and needed to be changed so that you could receive full redemption. See, the problem was not subjection to the Roman government like we thought. It was separation from God. The problem was not political or financial or social or no, it was spiritual. That's the meaning of Christmas. That's why we celebrate on December 25th. It reminds us of the birth of our Savior. Perhaps you need that understanding today. You need a Savior. Now, we as priests, we offered many sacrifices. Oh, there were so many sacrifices. But Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, the final, complete, eternal sacrifice. Now anyone could go directly into the presence of God through Jesus. All you need to do is to trust Jesus to be your Savior. That is, you turn from your sins and you turn toward Jesus. And many of you have already done this and received forgiveness of your sins. But you need to experience that forgiveness daily. Everyone needs that, even priests. I know I did. Even though I had previously doubted and been disciplined through the loss of my speech, it didn't mean the end of my life or my ministry. Likewise, when a Christian has received God's forgiveness and consequently submitted to any of God's disciplines, he goes on in Christ's service. This is something to rejoice over, this daily, continual, eternal forgiveness. And finally, let me close with a word about God's timing. Do you ever have a problem waiting? I know I did. Sometimes you doubt God or you get angry with Him. It's very hard to sing His praises. You think God's forgotten about you, or He doesn't care, or maybe He does care, but He's just not big enough to do anything about it. Well, we had waited for a Redeemer and a child, and God gave us both. God loves to do the right thing in the right way at the right time. Won't you trust Him for that? Well, that's my story, my Christmas song, a song of joy for what God has done through Jesus. It's the most important message. Are you ready for it? Advent means to prepare. Have you prepared your heart to celebrate the coming of Jesus at Christmas? Thanks be to God for Jesus. Shalom. Peace. May your heart be filled with joyful praise and thanks for all that God has done.